ain't really trying to play no games. Hey. You already know my name. Freaky Ziggy and it ain't no shame.
No shame. I'm Bella. Game.
It's history.
It's what my mother didn't do.
It's what my grandmother didn't do. It's a team.
It's a team. It's a movement. It's bigger than me.
It's bigger than both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Bay Ting, yeah.
It's a Bay Ting.
It's a Bay Ting, yeah. It's for friends all around the world, for sure.
Yeah. Cool, it's a look, for sure.
It's a look.
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 It's a look. Do you have a look?
I have a look. Do you have a look?
It's a look.
Do you have a look?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a look?
Do you have a look?
I have a look.
It's a look into culture.
It's a look into tech.
It's a look into movement.
Are you confident to look?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident to look.
I'm confident to look.
This is Max Gibson on It's a Look with Jenna and Frida, season 2. Thanks, guys.
Is there a sweat glands in your scalp?
Do you also sweat in your scalp?
Yeah, I sweat a lot.
You sweat a lot. Okay.
All right. All over your body?
I mean, not all over. Well, if you start from the head, it goes down.
Is this why the layer of choice is simply a scarf?
To catch all the sweat?
No, is it just like, okay, because you get warm, you just wear a scarf just in case you cool off a bit and you need a layer.
I was just trying to look cute for the interview. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just a little pop, just a little accessory. You know what I'm saying?
That's all. We like accessories.
You look nice.
Thank you. You too. You guys too.
Thank you for being an accessory on the show today.
I'm happy to be an accessory on the show. It is on video and podcast. We got squad. We lit.
Listen, we are out here.
Camera on MG. Holla.
It's incredible to have you. Who do we have the pleasure of having in the studio today?
My name is Max Gibson. Mm-hmm. Okay. Max Murphy Gibson. Mother's last name, father's last name, Max Murphy Gibson. Oh. And I'm happy to be here.
You got both last names.
Both last names. Two last names.
Oh, so those are your two last names. Murphy's not your middle name.
It is. Murphy's my little name, but it's my mother's last name.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you have a strong mom. She's like, nah, we gonna hold on to that.
Yeah. Definitely
okay.
That.
Okay.
Shout out moms.
Shout out moms.
We can start there.
Let's start with moms.
Love mom.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mother's Day is coming up kind of soon, guys.
Mother's Day is May 13th.
Plan ahead. Have something nice.
Right. What you planning?
Yeah, what are you going to do for your mom?
I'm planning to plan right now.
You said that I just planted the seed right now. Think about it.
I'm thinking about it now. Starting it's getting to the point where I'm like, all right, it's time to actually start celebrating my mom. Before I was just like, Mom, you know I love you, right?
True.
Now she's like, you get paid.
This is you always, though. She's like, last year, she's like, this is the last year I'm not buying any of my friends' Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
I feel that, though.
It got to a point, it was just like.
I feel that, though.
Well, now my friends are an investment. Like, now my friends absolutely, wholeheartedly are investing in my development and growth. And there are only so many of them. So it's like, at this point, you need to show them that you care in some way. And gifts are not important to me, so I often forget. But gifts, people really like them. Mm. It's a top 5 love language.
Mm.
Ooh,
also found that giving gifts on non-holiday days goes really far, too.
Farther.
Like,
farther.
Okay, boom.
Farther.
You know, if it's a random-ass Tuesday and it's like, yo, Frida, I was just thinking about you. I saw this gift and I need to give it to you. That's so much better than being forced to be like, oh shit, like it's Christmas. Let me just give you this Amazon gift card.
What was the last gift you got unexpectedly that really made your, like made you really happy?
Man, really good friend of mine bought me a fiddle leaf plant. Ooh. Out of nowhere.
What's that?
I've never heard of it. It's a really beautiful plant. It's about, well, it's not like this, but it's like yay big.
Okay.
And it has these big, big green leaves, kind of like clubs, like a Flintstone.
Oh,
club.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I've seen those recently in a lot of businesses have those kind of plants,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
And I
good for the home.
Mm.
And so, yeah, she just popped up with it one day and I was like, my heart.
This gift.
Yeah.
I just called to say I love you. That's a hit.
Yeah. I'm the worst at receiving gifts, I feel. Like, on holidays. I hate because for me, it's like, okay, people come on Christmas, your family members, and they buy you these gifts. And then there's this expectation that you want it or need it. And then have to want it or need it because you have to take it home with you and accept it with a gracious heart. You know, like, thank you. You thought of me. I'm like, rather just you didn't have to give me a gift.
I just tell them, I think you missed the mark on this one. And then I say, did you keep the receipt?
You said just like that?
Yeah, I said that to my grandma last year because she definitely... My grandma goes to the church and she goes to the donation area and picks things up. Then she brings them to me.
Re-gifts a gift.
She re-gifts donation gifts to her grandchildren. This just tells you a little bit about my grandma, where she is economically. And so,
yeah. It's a thought that counts, though.
Is it?
I think so.
What did you think about? Did you think about me?
Well, you think within your means.
I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Okay.
I wasn't a fan. She knows. It's like, what were you thinking?
Okay. What was the thought here? And also for me on birthdays, like, I hate all of the kind text messages. Like, I'm like, there's some times when I really need a kind pick-me-up, and I would rather read this on a day that I need that pick-me-up than, like, HBD. And then I'm like, oh, my God, thank you.
Anyone who texts you HBD or puts it on your Facebook
page. Gets no response.
Doesn't care about you.
Just doing it for obligation.
HBD? You can't even spell it out?
It's a weird thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like on your birthday, sometimes you hear from people that you haven't heard from in years, but then like the homies that you see every day, you might not even hear from on your birthday. And yeah. It's like,
okay, do you take it? How do you take it?
I don't know.
Anyway, gifts, everybody.
Gift giving's tight, though.
Max, you are simply a gift to the world.
Thank you.
You're a gift.
I'll take that. On video? Ooh, you see
you're
that
a gift. Hey. How are you sharing your gift with the world?
I think we all have many gifts. Okay. I think we all have many gifts. So I think realizing what they are, acknowledging them, and then sharing them is part of the process. But I think... for me, you know, Jenna, that you brought this up, thinking about myself and my own gifts, I have a lot of joy within me. Before I even see anybody in the morning, before I wake up, I'm already joyous within myself. Yeah. And so that's in large part due to my parents and, you know, the positive relationships I have in my life. But I would usually wake up with that. And so as far as sharing gifts, a lot of times it's just bringing that joy to other people. You know what I mean? And so being juiced to be there. I read this quote the other day that was so real. And it was some along the lines of like, if you show up someplace and you're happy to be there, the other people around you will get that energy and it'll bring them up as well. And so I can't say that all the time I'm juiced to be everywhere I'm at, but a lot of times I am. Like, I'm juiced to be here. Yeah. So, you know, I can walk with that level of joy sometimes, too.
You feel like that's one of your gifts?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm. No, I think we're definitely happy to have you here.
Thank you.
I think that's absolutely true. You are, you can positively impact the space that you're in based off of your own energy. Because people are on frequencies, and so if you have a positive frequency, people will pick that up and want to tune into that.
People are on frequencies, yes.
Yeah, people want to frequent your frequency if it's good.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They do. True. They do, and I think
they
it's
want to frequent your frequency.
Frequent like your frequency. Yes. They really do.
Yeah,
and I think it's also like setting the stage, like the power to set the tone for something, right? Mm. Like making the decision to be joyful means that you've made the decision almost to not necessarily take control of the situation, but because you come into it joyful, you have the power to just change the entire situation just based off of who you're showing up as. I think that's something I have to remind myself is like, I'm a powerful person. I can impact the people around me. If I'm negative, I bring it to everybody. My mom used to tell me the whole house could be negative when you're down, you know?
Very true. Very true. I've sensed that in my life as well.
Yeah, stepping into that power.
Mm-hmm. Sure. What about you guys? How do you share your gifts with the world?
I think the gift that I'm realizing most potent and powerful and influential to other people is confidence.
Let them know.
Come with a jig.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be... I think I'm so confident and able to
communicate who I am strongly, mm-hmm. it allows for other people to make an informed decision of how they want to engage with me.
Mm.
Right? So it's like, oh, sometimes people are like, oh, I don't know why they said this to me or did this to me. I'm like, people don't really do or say things that don't match my frequency. I think people are a lot of times are able to make an informed decision of like, okay, this is how she moves. These are the things that she likes to do. And then I think it allows them to be like, what do I like to do? How do I want to engage with this person? How do I want to get to know this person and things like that? So I think just leaning in your own truths is really important for how you impact other people. That makes sense?
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the way that I share my gift or how I share myself, I think that I've been wanting it more to align with humility and being humble in situations. So even if I'm sharing my perspective or I'm sharing my, my expertise or I'm sharing what I've gone through, it's coming from a humble place to like, hopefully it impacts you in a positive way. Hopefully it inspires you or motivates you to like get up and go do the thing, I remember my mom always used to tell me to be more humble. And I feel like that's a word that we all struggle with is humility, like reveling in your successes, but also knowing that there's more to come and you don't know it all and you haven't had it all yet. So trying to stay balanced and also not trying to just over advise people. Like you can share with people and advise them, but you can share with people and just say, I'm just sharing. This is just me being vulnerable. This is me just humbling myself. And so that's how I'm choosing to share my gifts as of late is coming from a place of humility and knowing when I'm wrong too, which is so hard.
Confidence, humility.
Joy.
I mean, yeah, all vital characteristics, I feel like.
Sure. Major life skills.
I feel like the concept of humility is such a challenging, well, actually the balance of like humility and confidence, and then falling into cockiness potentially. Mm. But that balance of humility and confidence I really struggle with, especially being in Oakland. Are you guys from Oakland or the Bay?
We're from the Bay Area.
Okay, boom. Yeah. So I don't know.
From the Bay Area.
I'm from Oakland. Yeah.
Okay, so, rep your set.
Yeah. So I don't know if this goes for folks all over the Bay. This was a conversation I had with a woman that wasn't from Oakland but has been in Oakland for like the past 10 years or something. Yeah. She said this. She said, the thing I've realized that's so sad but true about people from Oakland is that they have all this talent, all this worth, but they don't know their own worth.
Mm.
And she told me that and it floored me because it's so true. It's like, I feel like in Oakland, in the Bay Area, there's so many superstars, there's so many gems, there's so many people that were born here, raised here, and you put them in any other environment, anywhere in the world, and they shine. Mm-hmm. But then you are in Oakland and you ask them about the work they're doing and they have some amazing accomplishment. They do something great and you talk to them about it. You know what they say? Oh, well, I'm just trying to do my thing. You know what I mean? That's just ain't really nothing. I'm just trying out here.
No,
I'm just trying to get it, man. Right. I'm just trying. And it's like,
the Bay is hella, it's hella like, chill to a fault.
It's too chill. People are too content to a fault here. And I think that's a real, real thing. And it's like, I think the other side of that is like people in the Bay, we embody that level of confidence and humility, I feel like, but that humility rises up a little bit too much. Yeah. I think like people from Oakland especially, like you never want to be out here shining too much.
Right.
Like,
look, right.
That's not how people move out here.
And I think it's because probably people saw that. That's the exact movement. People have seen that and people previously, and so now they stray away from that. Mm-hmm. They stray away from that. But I, as a person who has traveled extensively, I would say, yeah, like the talent that is here is supremely underwritten. Shayla from So Oakland was just saying when you say you're from California, people think you're from LA. They don't think you're from Oakland. They don't think you're from the Bay Area.
Right.
And so also you always have to overcompensate and say, no, I'm from the Bay Area. Outside of San Francisco, there's this city called Oakland and I live there. That's where I do my work.
I mean, right. Berkeley, Richmond, Vallejo, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. And yeah. I think that's another thing that's important for this show as well. A lot of the people that we're bringing on this season are from the Bay. Mm-hmm. And are doing dope shit.
Yeah.
And of course the show will expand to more people who are domestic and international as well. But What are we doing as the new generation of people from the Bay Area who are doing incredible things to showcase each other's work, to showcase our own work, mm-hmm. right? And to build here. Because that's also something that Shayla said. They're like, oh, okay, well, if you really want to make it big, people tell me that all the time with stand-up comedy. If you really want to make it big, you would go to LA. It's like, or I can bring these people here. Or I can make this a powerhouse. Or I can make this the next big thing, right?
Right.
And so it's just so... But in the same vein, right, if you do that, then we talk about gentrification. And, like, there are just also just so many more people here who are also doing cool things. You're like, but you're not from the Bay.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But it just... And then you can saturate the market. If you're too hyped up, right, if you're overconfident, if you let everyone know how dope you are, then everybody's going to come here, and then it'll all be different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a tricky slope.
Yeah. Mm. Slippery slope, for sure. Well, that brings me to my first question for you. Sure. My first question is just around the work that you've been doing in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So you, as you said, you're from here. You've mm-hmm. been leading Wine and Bow Ties for 8 years or so now. Mm-hmm. Can you just tell us a little bit more about like 9 years?
Nine years and some sprinkles.
Go ahead, check me. Nine years and a sprinkle.
Yeah, yes. Almost a decade.
Yes.
That's incredible.
It's going to be a decade, it's January amazing. 1st, 2019. It will be a decade on this journey, yeah.
Can you share with us what that journey has been like? Is what you conceived in the beginning, is it still what it is today?
Yes and no, Jenna. Yes okay. and no. You know, I'm always thinking about it, and it's, you know, I tell myself sometimes if I knew how hard this was
yeah.
in the first, I would have never started. Yeah. I would have never started.
Yeah. Right.
But within the journey, one of the things, you know, I learned is that, for one, the journey is the destination. So the process of manifesting this thing that I've dreamt of for so long, the process of doing it, the people that you meet, the work, the challenges, all of that is the juicy, juicy nectar, you know what I mean, of this journey for me. And so those are two lessons there. And what was the question again?
It was just on, my question was essentially, what was what you conceived almost 10 years ago, is that what it is today?
So yeah, I mean, so then like yes and no, you know what I mean? Like when I first dreamt up Wine and Bow Ties, I think I had like Hype Beast in mind with like, you know, mm-hmm. my own flavor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was like High Snob with my own flavor. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, we always kind of had that vision in our mind. But to be honest with you, no, my vision has changed over the years. Yeah. And it's really been informed by other people, and especially the rest of my team. Mm-hmm. You know, my man, Will, the dude that I've been doing this with for the longest.
Your co-founder.
Yeah, yeah. His vision has been matched with mine. And we've been able to elevate each other and bring each other to heights that... I couldn't even imagine when I first started. And that's the truth.
It started as a blog.
Started as a little bitch ass blog spot. Like some shit was like,
it was bitch ass though.
Because it was hella skinny like this.
Okay.
Like the pictures were this big. The paragraphs were this short. And I was just talking about like Drake videos.
And you were doing the writing for that.
And I was doing all the writing.
Yes.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
But it was just like wineandbowties.blogspot.com. And there was like no followers.
Okay, yeah.
There was a little like square in the top right corner that showed how many people would follow you. Mm-hmm. And for like months it was zero. And then I remember their little profile graphic would show up if on the homepage if they followed your site. And I remember I was so juiced off of getting followers on Blogspot. Mm-hmm. And looking at that and seeing that go from like 4 to 6 and 6 to 8 mm-hmm. and 8 to 10. And then eventually, you know, I kept on doing it. And it got to, you know, like 100 or something. I was like, hey,
we out here. Waves.
And, you know, Will came in a couple months into that process and was like, yeah, you know, he'd always throw me music. He's huge into music. He has a crazy music mind.
Mm. Is he a musician?
Yeah, he makes music on low key. Yeah, okay. You know. So he would just hit me with music and he'd be like, hey man, put this song up. Why don't you put this song up? I'll be like, oh cool, you know, and I'd write about it.
Right.
And then eventually it got to the point where he would hit me with these songs, and eventually I was like, yo man, why don't you got it. Why don't you write it?
Right.
So then we started taking turns blogging on this little blog spot.
Little bitch ass blog spot.
Right. And it grew like that. And we just kind of fell in love with the process. But I think, you know, there's one really major inflection point in the journey that I have to highlight, which is really like the evolution of Feels. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had been throwing parties, art shows, screenings, really dabbling with all these different types of experiences. And it was really my man, Will, who put a lot of belief into building out concert experiences for Juan and Bowties and what we were doing. I remember arguing with him so much about, you know, paying to book a, you know, popular artist and be like, man, we don't need that, man. What are you talking about, dude? We could just get boop, 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 boop. And he's like, nah, man, we need this person because this person's going to bring it to the next level.
Yeah.
And I remember like really, you know, going back and forth on that.
What was the pushback there? I mean, I know you thought you could just have Sideshow Bob and everybody else on the
Sideshow Bob, Frida, you know what I mean? We had dope DJs.
It might have been some of the homies
DJs. She said Sideshow Bob.
Sideshow Bob also was very important in
Simpsons. Stop.
Don't make it sound good. It's not good if it's Sideshow Bob.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't want Sideshow Bob. So I was just like that. You know, booking that artist isn't cost effective.
Okay. Yeah. No.
You know, our margins are cool right now, booking three DJs for the low, but we, you know, we drop extra bread for this one art. It's going to be a lot. And so there was that conversation, and he really helped me understand the value of what level and upling look like. And so it was his vision and our other homies, Jesse's vision, who's also just a mastermind when it comes to festival experiences. He threw festivals at UCLA, and then he also did a lot of experiential work and sponsorships with South by Southwest.
Cool.
And so him and Will have been friends for the longest. I knew him through since college and stuff too. And so the three of us kind of got together once we got to the second or third Feels, and it was like Will and I going at it for a while and like putting these things together. And when we were putting together the first couple of Feels, the shit was so fucking hard. Like, we just didn't know what we were doing all the way. And, like, we had some experience, but not all of it. And so it was really challenging to get those first two off the ground. So then Jesse came in, I think around the second or third one, and was like, kind of like, look, guys, this is how you do this. And he just brought so much operational knowledge to the festival experience.
Was this before or after the Feels at American Steel? I think this was before.
This was the one.
Because the one at American Steel was so good.
That was incredible. That was like,
Yeah, it was tasty.
Yeah,
it was really
tasty. And Jesse was on that one. So. Has the vision changed? Yeah. You know, honestly, I remember thinking we were going to get to like big festivals. I remember imagining what a festival would look like. And I remember thinking it was going to be something at like Woodminster Theater up in the hills and like having this foggy, like multi-concert thing. And then lo and behold, you know, we in 2015 and we're throwing festivals.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the vision has definitely changed. And I think, you know, speaking back to just kind of Will and I's work, it's just sort of like our visions kind of build on each other. So he'll kind of come to me and be like, yo, man, like, what do you think we should do? What about this? And I'm like, yeah, cool, for sure. Like, what if we added this, this, and this? And he'll be like, cool, yeah, for sure. Or vice versa. I'll be like, what if we do this? He'll be like, yeah, that's cool. What if we took out this and added this? And so literally we just kind of build on each other's ideas. And then we go off and we can execute. Yeah. And then we'll come back together and it will be a cohesive experience most times. But definitely the vision of the team has helped influence my vision throughout the years.
With that lateral structure, it sounds like your team has with Jesse, Will, yourself, and whomever else is on the Wine and Bowties team.
Mm-hmm.
With working with young people, working with friends and colleagues, what has been something that you've learned can it enhance the experience of working with those people? Like what life skills have you learned? Because I know Jen and I are often learning how to work in a business capacity, right? And setting those boundaries between, right now I'm talking to you as a business partner, right now I'm talking to you as your friend. How do you work to establish friendship, maintain friendship, and also give people critical advice on how to best move forward with business practices?
Yeah, man. I don't know. I only really have experience going in it with my man, Will.
Okay.
And like, honestly, I feel like it's just a committed relationship. it's not like a romantic relationship, but it's very much a committed relationship in the sense that, like, whether, you know, we are talking every day or meeting up every week or not, there has to be this common understanding that we're going for the same thing.
Yeah.
That we're both putting our best foot forward to try to manifest this thing that we both agreed upon we want to create. And so to our credit, you know, that desire has still been alive for the past 9 years, and we haven't you know, fully fallen out off of any of the work. But I think underlying that is just that sense of trust between two friends. You know, I mean, the friendship is kind of the foundation for the work to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, Will and I were even trying to do a lot for a while. We were friends and roommates and business partners for like 3-4 years, and that was a lot. She
I
left.
Proposed. I moved in with Jenna. She said she didn't think that would be best for her.
To the no.
Yeah. No, bitch, you're going to be emailing me and knocking on my door asking me questions.
It's a lot to be aligned with. And so that sense of trust is really real. And I think the realest piece for me that I've learned, too, is in trusting your partner, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially with something like wine and bow ties and events and, you know, curation and all these things that are very subjective, it's easy to get caught up in like the ego of like what looks best or what you think is best or the right way to decision to make or something like that. But what I found is that over the years, like entrusting the people that you're working with to execute their vision, you actually get back double when you do that. If you relinquish the creative control of a project or how something has to be to another person that you're working with that you trust, you actually get back double, because not only do you get their effort, but you get their perspective. And what I found is that when you put that trust in them, then they're like, okay, shit, okay.
Let me do this work.
Let me prove myself.
Let me do this work. Let me take ownership.
And at minimum, you get backed up. And I've seen that with Feels. You know what I mean? I've seen that with so many smaller projects with Wine and Bow Ties. And I've learned that over time, because when I first started, it was like, oh, I got to do everything. I got to I got to do every aspect of the show. I got to film it. I got to do the interview. I got to do the photography. I got to come up with the questions. Mm-hmm. I got to throw the event. I got to find the location. Mm-hmm. I got to network with all the people. I got to build out the editorial team. I have to do all of it. And, you know, all the shit wasn't coming out tight. And so it was really a process for me, because I have my own ego, you know what I mean? I want to be, you know. But you can be still and still also empower the rest of your team. And so.
So it sounded like you've learned, you know, that it's about you, but it's also not about you.
Exactly.
Right. And involving people in the movement. So I just want to speak to BAMFA, to the event that we were just at, the Feels release party.
Right.
Repping BAMFA here. I got a sticker from that event.
Stick.
I also have the postcards that were on the wall during that event I brought home. And one of which I'm going to mail to you. Just to say congratulations and thank you for it. That's why I asked for your address, to let you know that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was an incredible experience. And I was watching the Instagram story of that event, and I saw that you invited the folks from Youth Radio to kind of film. So I have a two-pronged question for you. Yeah. For one, the question is, you know, what is this entire movement? What is Wine and Bow Ties, right? Like, how is it impacting the community? What impact do you want to have on the community? And then just a second follow-up to the question, well, what we were just talking about is, like, employing other people, right? Bringing other people on to do the thing, to do the work. Yeah. How is that process been for you in inviting people to the table?
Yeah. It's all part of the journey. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, I'm trying to manifest a dream. Mm-hmm. You know, jump off the beaten path and create something new. And so, you know, when I think about Wine and Bow Ties broadly, I think about building a platform. You know, more so than a website or like an event company. It's like a platform to do all these things. And so, you know, really originally it was kind of using the platform to celebrate the creative works of people that we believed in. And so that could be in the Bay, that could be overseas, wherever, but it was really just kind of like a website to showcase like creative works, art, culture, ideas, things like that. As time went on, once we had a little bit of a following online, we said, okay, what does it look like to bring this online community together in the real world? Mm. and start to build a little bit more community there. And that was also a really dynamic experience too. And so we've kind of run with both of those, kind of building out editorial and ideas and building out like the digital platform to showcase people's works, but then also harnessing that community in the real world and truly building community around that. And so I think that's still kind of what Wine and Bow Ties is. And it's like, it's dope because there's no ceiling on it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I love about doing your own thing is like, it can go as high or as low as you want it to. Yeah. Whereas like if you're at, you know, such and such job, it's like, yeah, this person right here and this person right here, their perception of your work is going to dictate if you go up or not. Mm. But I always liked the idea of having a project that was just between me and the people.
Direct to consumer.
Idea. Right. Yeah. The literally the people will decide if this should continue.
The people decide. Yes. We were at a museum on Tuesday. I had no reason to be at that museum in Berkeley on a Tuesday evening, and I showed up.
People decided they were.
People subscribe to this community, and that's why it's so important. You build culture essentially what you're doing with Wine and Bow Ties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it is so difficult for these corporations to build culture because they're not culture based, driven, culture. Interested. But right. I want you to finish the second part of the question, which is employing community members.
Yeah.
I mean,
that must be fun.
You know, there's been a lot of sacrifices along the way, but I think one of them is just that. I think that's the cool part about your own pursuit is that you can bring other people into the fold. And I think that's just an essential part of it. I used to work at this nonprofit called Hack the Hood. So we taught youth how to build websites for local small businesses. And that was a great experience for me, too, because I was able to truly engage with the youth of Oakland and, like, see what their hopes, dreams, and ambitions were. And I made a lot of amazing relationships with the youth from that. And so we've had countless youth go through the Hack the Hood program. It's like a 6-week boot camp. And then, you know, after it, we're cool. They might finish the program, but then they'll come and work a Wine and Bow Ties event. They'll come work the door. They'll come do security. They'll come handle tickets. They'll do, you know, photography. They'll work on the website. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're kind of like mini informal internships. They've taken on different natures over the years, but it's a central part of what we're trying to do is you know, kind of reach up and reach down at the same time. And the youth radio collab on Tuesday was like one of the best examples of that. You saw they did the profiles. You see the profiles?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I saw it all. I was
shout out youth radio.
Did they come up with the idea themselves?
The live stream? I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not sure. We've been trying to work with youth radio for a while, and the last feels we were in communication, but not quite. And so shout out my man, Sam, a.k.a. Yared. But he works at Youth Radio, and he came through with the young squad, and they just boop, boop, boop.
So awesome.
Shout out to Youth Radio. Shout out to Hack the Hood.
Yes.
Yeah.
For
sure.
And shout out to you for doing, as you said, kind of reaching up. Like, we'll get into that later, like reaching up, picking really awesome guests, getting a really diverse lineup, and then also reaching down and having diverse community folks and organizations involved in the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
Really incredible to be in those, like at that crossway, to be at that event and be in the crossway, to hear my friends who I look up to who are incredible photographers saying, I donated my time to take photos at this event.
Right.
Love that. I think we should jump into a game. I know you have a game that you want to play.
Oh, let's play.
We're going to play a game.
I ain't really trying to play no games.
Hey.
You already know my name. Freaky Ziggy in it. Ain't no shame.
No shame.
I'm Bella.
Game.
So before we do the games, we'll always do that. Okay, so
I don't
cool.
know if that was the right lyrics.
So this game is called, I'm calling a Lyft. This segment is not sponsored by Lyft, but soon come Lyft, wherever Lyft. You are listening, sponsor this shit. So I'm calling a Lyft means, imagine yourself in a romantic situation, whether that's Netflix and chilling, a walk on the beach, or just chilling with your booski.
Okay? Okay.
Now, you're meeting with this person, maybe for the first or the second time. It's new. It's a new situation.
Second
you're not
time.
Too comfortable with them, but you're not uncomfortable with them. Okay. You're sharing space.
Okay.
And a situation presents itself where you just want to call a Lyft and get the fuck up out of there. So I'm going to give you some situation where you tell me if you would call a Lyft and just exit the situation, or if you would instead engage in a conversation and dialogue about what's happening in the room. So,
okay.
Here we are.
So it's like stay or call a Lyft?
Yeah. Stay or call a Lyft.
It's actually like, for I'm myself. Calling a Lyft.
I'm calling a Lyft.
For myself.
Or yourself. Okay. I'm calling a Lyft or not. You're Netflix and chilling with someone. Everything's romantic. It's wonderful. You're both snuggling on the couch, okay?
Yeah.
You kick off your shoes. You're comfortable. They kick off their shoes. They're comfortable. They feet stank. It's just wafting up past the popcorn up into your face. You can't even focus on Naruto, which is on the Netflix right now. You can't even focus.
Are you calling a Lyft?
You calling a Lyft or you staying?
This is what? The second or first?
Listen.
First makes a difference. First or second is going to make a difference if I call that Lyft or not.
Let's say it's the second.
The second, I would address it. I wouldn't call it a Lyft.
What do you do? What do you say to them?
I'd be like, man, it's your I think your feet might
be. What was that? She would say what? Pardon?
I said your feet might be on Stankonia. I would address
Stankonia?
Yeah. If they're on Stankonia, they're on Stankonia. But it's the second date, okay, then there's enough level of
interest.
Well, just like, rapport. You know, rapport to be able to say that. Whereas if it was the first one, I'd probably just be like, God damn. You know what I mean? So the second one, I would address it and be like, damn, is that like, I wouldn't probably say Stankonia. I'd be like, damn, is that you or something?
I said,
it sounds a little funky.
You smell something tart?
Yeah. You're an asshole.
I might say that. I wouldn't blame her.
What if they couldn't smell it? You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's why I would make a statement. Like, do you smell that?
The following statement would be, we took our socks off, and then all of a sudden.
Have you ever had to tell someone about their own personal body odor?
Yes.
How did you go about that discussion? What was Stankonia on them? What was Stankonia on him, and what did you say?
Reach back into your memory and bring it out.
He's like,
you know, I'll keep it lit. You know, and this was something that made me. This was actually a seismic. This was a seismic inflection point again in my life. But I you know, there's been a couple times actually in my life when I've been spending time with women. And, you know, their vagina smells terrible.
Really?
Yeah. And it smells, you know, it just smells like something out of pocket.
Like something literally came out the pocket there.
Yeah. And it's happened like a couple times. And
how do you address that?
I was just like, first it happened, I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing. Like, what? But it made me really appreciate after that experience, those couple of experiences, really, really appreciate like cleanliness and like women that take care of like after that. Like,
did you think the women who didn't smell fresh were not clean?
I wondered.
So you didn't actually say anything to them?
Not in the moment.
That's a sensitive topic.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just clarifying.
We can get to this. I mean, finish the next up
your. I know you were expecting me to say like. Armpit.
No, I feel like that's a serious thing.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I knew you're going. Okay.
Well, it's real. It's real.
It's a real thing.
That really happened like twice to me.
It's a real thing.
And yeah, it's not, you know, I'm not going to vilify anybody for that. You know, I mean, your personal sparks stink
sometimes. I was in South Africa and my friend, he told me that every time a woman comes over, he tells him to get in the shower first.
Right.
We
could take a shower.
Yeah. You need a shower. But I do think there's something valuable in cleanliness. Like, that's always me before I do anything sexual. Someone's like, how do you take care of yourself, though? You know, like, when no one's around, like, how do you take care of you? Mm. And I think the way you smell, the way your nails are clipped or not, if they're dirty or not, like, those things, they all. Anyway. Next on the I'm calling a Lyft.
I was engaged in that conversation.
I would have been calling a Lyft.
For the feet. You don't like feet. That's what we've talked about.
So self-conscious now, man. I'm just like, man.
No, I mean, you're a human being.
The girls that watch, they'll be like, is it me?
It might have been.
It's never been.
Because the thing about it is, if you smell funk, if you are outside of my body and you smell my funk, that means that I probably smell my funk too.
Or
that's
not,
actually,
though.
That's a misconception, actually.
Or not,
some people actually don't assess their own body odor. Like, that's all I'm going to say. Some people are so familiar in it that they don't assess it and it's not a problem for them.
Exactly.
And so you actually have to let them know.
Yeah.
That this odor done jumped on me like a monkey on my back and now it's attached. So how would you go about letting someone
know? How would I go about letting a woman know her vagina smell bad? Because that's what we're talking about.
That we've gotten there.
I actually had a very difficult situation with a student of mine that I was advising, and she had bad body odor. Two of these situations happen. I think the biggest thing is assessing the situation first. You ask questions similar to, hey, what did you do today? How are you? I'm serious. This is the thing, right? She's like, if this person, male or female, is like, yeah, I went to the gym.
What did you do today?
I was riding my bicycle. I was doing, you know, so they did
different. What smells you know already?
So then you're like,
doing okay. Something active.
You did something active, okay? It's like, okay, what did I say the next thing that I said to this person? I was like, okay, when was the last time that you freshened up? That's a question to ask someone. When was the last time you freshened up? After all of these physical activities. If they tell you that they've been laying in bed all day and they smell like this, you go, oh, well, and then you go into, I just want to let you know that it's come to my attention.
It might be that time.
It's come to my attention that...
This is nice in theory.
These are things I say in practice. Jim knows I say things to people. They'll find out.
Okay.
Nonetheless, how about this? If anyone has any tips or tricks on how to let people know when they smell bad, how about you leave us a friendly comment and or send us a note.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. This will be the last one. This is always a good question. I'm calling a lift or not. You're engaging with someone first date. You just find yourself constantly drifting away from the conversation, just not engaged.
That's a red flag.
Just
sometimes.
In it and then you're gone. You calling a lift or are you gonna stay?
I'm gonna stick that one out. It's, you know, I'm gonna stick that one out.
Okay.
First date. I might cut it a little shorter, but I don't think. I'm not gonna immediately be like, oh, this conversation's terrible. Oh shit, like, gotta go.
That's when we had a friend tell us they were having a terrible conversation with a date, and they immediately just had to end the date then.
Yeah. That's harsh. I don't think I'd do that.
No.
I stick it out.
You're a kind
Wonderful.
Person.
Yeah.
He's a kind
yeah.
person.
I'm not.
Listen. Max is very kind.
There's a thumbtack in my water.
What? Let me see.
I think you put the tacks in your water, in your cup.
Is she still drinking?
It's fine. It's clean. It's just, I looked in. We have been leaving thumbtacks in here because of set design, and I realized it's still in there.
Well, don't poke your lip.
Okay.
Don't swallow it.
Thank you.
That's why you need to have some clear cups.
Okay.
Clear cups only. So, as we were just on the
thumbtack in your drinking water on a Saturday before noon.
How are you drinking water? Thumbtacking. Thumbtacking water.
Okay. Great. Are you done?
I'm done.
Wonderful.
You don't have one more?
I mean, do you want one more?
I feel like you want me to be like, I'll call a lift for sure. I want to say that one time.
You don't have to.
Okay.
You don't seem like the person to be calling lifts to get out of there.
I'll stick it out.
You seem like you stick it out.
I'll stick it out most times.
Sometimes it's like, you know what? I had a good time, but.
No, this is a real Max situation. Max, I'm reaching back to our story.
Which one?
Max called me a lift.
He had to send your ass home?
Max sent me home.
What happened?
Max sent me home. Max sent me home.
He sent you in a lift or a lift pool?
Listen, it was a lift.
It was an X.
It was an X.
It was a
Max
Uber
sent
X.
My ass home.
Why were you sent home?
First of all.
Wait.
I am.
We're gonna do it.
There was about a year or two ago.
Okay.
I went to Max's house real late at night.
Is this the same? Oh,
real
you're right.
Late at night. I had to get to Max's house so bad. I had my mom drop me off at Max's house. It was late.
This is a true story.
It was late. And I don't know. Me and my mom were out late together. And I was like, I'm going to somebody's house. And my mom was like, but it's late. And I was like, Mom, I'm going.
Bruh.
And Max opened the door, and I went to Max's house. Probably fell asleep. I think we just fell asleep. Nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was a crack of dawn. Max woke up real nice and early. He said, it's Saturday morning, and I'm going to play basketball.
It was Sunday.
Okay, it was Sunday. He said, I'm going to play basketball. Mm-hmm. He said, unfortunately, I can't take you home. Can I call you a lift?
Oh, shit.
Max said, can I call you a lift? And that's what he did. Sent my ass right on home. And he went to go play basketball because ball is life.
Listen, sometimes you gotta send a bitch home.
Okay.
Send a bitch home.
Okay, okay. Can I give my version of this account? Go right ahead. I'm trying to remember.
For the people.
What were we doing before, like in the regular evening time?
Where were we? We were at an event or was something. It, I saw you somewhere.
Yeah, it was somewhere. I think it was at Red Bay Coffee.
Might have been. Okay. I literally came to his house. I think I hit the J one time and I fell asleep.
Bro, I just remember your mom dropping you off in my house. And it was like, I remember we were like, oh yeah, you, like we were at this like event. And then I was like, yeah, you want to hang out afterwards? I'm going home. She was like, for sure, I'm going to chill with my mom. And then I'll come over. But it was like 9.
At that time.
At that time.
The time I got dropped off was around 2.
Two.
It was late.
It was two. Mom, it was two.
Where,
by her mom.
The question is,
she's getting dropped off by her mom at my house at 2.
Where was Jenna Senior going?
To our house that we lived in together.
I was so, I was like, yo, Jenna's tight as fuck. Like, I'm down to hang out. But being dropped off at your mom at my house at 2?
You guys, yeah.
Off of no kick it before?
Listen.
I was like, man. Listen. And I was trying to stay awake. But it was like 2, and she came over. It was like 2:15 a.m. on a Saturday. Yeah. I got hoop at 8. No, and I got hoop at 8 because ball is life. And so I don't even think we could kick it. Like, I think you came over at 2 and fell asleep.
You don't call them for yourself. You'll call them for someone else. That's what
he's a gracious man, okay?
Yeah, man.
He's a kind man. He's a kind, kind man.
That's because Max is grown.
He's a grown-ass man. So, as a grown-ass man, that leads me into my next questions, because I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions around, like, how black men take care of themselves and mental health and self-care. So, can you talk to us about your mental health and your self-care practices and what you do to, you know, give to the community? Part of that means you're taking care of you.
Right. And maybe
how do I take care of myself?
I was talking to 2 guy friends recently, and they said that they... I know we talked about anxiety as well, and they suffer from anxiety. And so, and they're in their early 20s. I know you're, you know, in your 30s now. And so, or 30, in your 30s now. And so, yeah, how has your self-care also, on building on that, improved from your 20s? And how have you seen it benefit you as you've gotten older? Because I know that some guys, my friends, is like, oh, you know, self-care. I've been putting on face masks and shit. You're like, nigga, that ain't the only way to self-care.
Well, I exfoliate it. No. So, like, I think that starts with, like, self-awareness, right? Like, if you're aware of yourself and, like, how you're feeling, then you can take care of yourself a little bit more effectively, I feel like. Right. So, I try to check in with myself a little bit more in my older years.
How do you check in with yourself?
I have one of these. I journal a lot.
Okay.
I write a good amount to myself. But I think, yeah, it's crazy to be black, to be labeled black as a black person in America.
It's exhausting at times.
I feel like being black in America is like walking through a blizzard, and you have varying degrees of equipment to deal with that blizzard. And you looking and you're seeing all the other people that got labeled black in the country. And some people have full parkas and ski masks and scarves and hats and gloves. And other people just out there in a white tee.
Extra, extra L white tee out
and
here.
A triple blizzard. XL white tee in the blizzard. And you see it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you do.
And so I wanted to talk about to people about how that takes a toll on you, like how seeing your own people suffering in the way that they do, whether you acknowledge it or not, seeing that daily like takes a toll. I feel like being black in America, being especially a black man and seeing men that are twice my age, like eating out of garbage cans, living on the street, it almost feels like at any point there's like a trap door that you can fall through and it will never... And you can just wind up like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm never too far from that. Even if shit's good, even if shit's just popping, even if I got money in the bank and positive relationships and supportive family, I still feel like at any point some shit could happen and you could fall through that trap door. And so I stay in community with people. I stay in community with people that make me feel good, that make me laugh especially. I think laughter is probably my biggest healing mechanism.
Instant vacation.
I think Russell Simmons said it, but laughter is the only time when you're truly in the moment is when you're laughing. And so I'm trying to crack jokes every day. And even if nobody laughs, I'm making myself laugh every day. I'm checking my memes. My memes are making me happy.
Meme game strong.
And I dance a lot. So I'll put on my favorite music every day. And I'll you know, do a little some.
Community, dancing, laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Integral parts of the Black experience internationally as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, okay. So I want to talk more about your experience working in the industry and also working with women in the industry. So I think that, you know, you've talked about your team, which has been men and which are great, but how have you worked with women? How have you been an ally for women? And then, yeah, how is Wine and Bow Ties a platform for women to stand on as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's honestly something that we have to continue to be conscious of and doing more work to make that, make sure that that representation is balanced. I think when we first started, we took a lot of pride in showcasing the works of women that, you know, we believed in and kind of making it an even representation of their work on the website. And then, yeah, you know, as time's gone on, there's been different women that we've been involved with that have added to what we're doing, but I think we need to still move with a little bit more intentionality around inserting women at every aspect of the process. And so, I mean, we relaunched our website in January of this year, and you know, we had a small editorial team. I think it was like four of us, like me, my roommate Will, and then another homie. And we're sitting there, and we're sitting at a round table like this. And we're going through everything, and we're working through the editorial calendar, and we're like, cool, this is going good. And I think it was like an hour, hour and a half in. I think we finished the meeting, and I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, guys, this is a great meeting. I'm really happy with the direction we're going. We need some women at the table.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, yeah, yeah, man, y'all's gonna say the same thing, man. Yeah, yeah, you know, but, you know. They probably were. They probably did feel the same way. But I think just that level of intentionality that we still have to work on.
Yeah.
But to that point, Will's brought on Allie, his girlfriend, Allie Madigan. She's a great, like, set designer, artist, creative artist. So she has a role in Feels, working with all the artists and doing a lot of the curation and design there. And so her involvement has been huge for us. She's been a part of the last two Feels. And she's a great set designer. And so just bringing her on has added so much to what we're doing. And so, to be honest with you guys, there's a potential for us to do a lot more.
Sure.
But I hope that we can continue to move with a little bit more intentionality as we go on.
I will say that, you know, thinking about the people I've known that worked with you guys, from the House of Malaika to Queen's Delight to Siri, you've touched a lot of my favorites. And so I really commend you for...
That is true.
You've touched a lot of my favorites. And then you look at the lineup for this year, and it's like, you, I think, after Princess Nokia, you have like Mickey...
Mm-hmm.
Who is, you know, not a traditional, he's not trans. He said he's not trans, but he's been on a transitional journey. And so I will say that it's been cool to look at these lineups and see people that I love from the Bay Area, but also people who are iconic internationally, who have kind of a fluid gender, right? Yeah, you think of a lot of other lineups. There's not something for everybody. You had Sid the Kid before. Like, you've made some waves.
I think so, too. I might be discrediting this in a little bit. I think as far as utilizing the platform of Wine and Bow Ties and Feels, we've done a great job of showcasing
female talent.
Female talent, different types of talent, different types of people, different types of ideas. I think where we really need to do more work is involving them on the back end.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And more of the creation of the work.
Yes, absolutely.
But you are right. Carrie Fall was at... New Year's, Jungle Pussy was at New Year's. It was an all-woman lineup for New Year's, and I remember Will and I were really proud about that.
The Sid the Kid one?
No, that was this past year.
Okay, so we were in Johannesburg this past year.
Okay, you live.
But year prior,
I was
at
Jeffrey's.
We were there. We were there. She did not think we were going to get into that party that evening.
The thing that I love, right? So yeah, we absolutely want women in the back end. We absolutely want women talent. And then at this experience as well. And then also, I love that in our conversation before, you designed the experience with women in mind as well.
Oh, that's been true since the jump.
And so something we learned in the Women Music Festival, right, is that there's really no party if there are no women there. It's just facts only. I think, wasn't it? Namaste said that. Namaste Shadi. So shout out to her. Said that at a panel. And so how do you go about designing for women in mind in your experience design? Is there something that you think of specifically outside of the lineup to engage women? Because we walked in and for 2017 New Year's and just immediately felt super safe, super confident, super sexy, super like not imposed by any of the men in the space. So I'm wondering, how did you do that?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we're, you know, Will and I and our team is really passionate about experience design. Mm, yeah. But I think, you know, even from the early stages, like walking into a space, I know I would always think about literally like I'd walk like two blocks away and I'll walk up to the venue and walk through the entire venue with my own perspective. But then I'll wear a woman's hat and be like, I'll try my best to figure out how a woman is experiencing. And this was before we really had women on the team to really like give us their own
perspective.
Yeah. But I would always try to look at it through their perspective. And so when I'm thinking about the pillars of an experience, it's like location.
Yeah.
Safety's big. It's who's there, the people, and then like, you know, the vibe, the music.
Yeah.
And so we just try to make those three things accommodating to women. Obviously, like safe space, a place that women would want to be at, I think something that we go for. And then also just trying to present, you know, music and sounds that isn't derogatory or oppressive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you can definitely have the turn up, but you can always balance the turn up with something that's a little bit more accessible to women. And
our favorite dance floor was like, there's a 1970s dance floor that you guys had that year at Jeffrey's.
Oh, that was probably Fela Kuti. Yeah. And she was killing it. Yeah. Yeah.
Never danced so hard in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We took a lot of pride in that, though. You know, we looked at our statistics, and there's a even split between men and women on our social media channels and on our website. It's literally 49-51 men to women or something like that. And that's something we take a lot of pride in, because originally it came from two dudes.
Yeah.
Trying to appeal.
Two black men at that.
Who?
Oh, Will's not black. No. We don't know Will.
No.
I'm putting stereotypes on his name. Yeah.
Will is, what
ethnicity
is he?
He's not.
I'm putting labels on this man. And I don't even know who he is.
Will's listening going, great. Me.
Is it me that you speak of? Welcome, Will. Shout out to you.
Shout out
for,
my man, Will.
Shout out, Will.
He's a great
being
human.
An ally as well.
He's an ally. Doesn't have to be the same complexion as me.
No. Okay.
Probably categorize himself as white.
Okay.
But
works for me.
Yeah,
it works.
Great dude.
Awesome.
So lastly, I think...
Is that the perception?
What?
That it's two black guys?
Mm-hmm.
I think we just know... I know you.
Yeah. So I just... I actually don't... I'm not familiar with Will.
Yeah.
Or the other one. The other male that you mentioned.
Jesse. Jesse's in and out. Jesse, big baller brand. So he'll be in New York
or
South By.
He'll come and sprinkle
some over
here.
He'll fly in for the... He was there for the preview.
Okay. So we'll have to go out to lunch. We'll have to take you guys out to lunch.
Sure. Sure.
We'd have like $2 sandwiches, but we can go out for lunch.
Little Bon Me, Cam Wong, hello.
We can make grilled cheese at your casa. It's my new favorite thing.
My house.
Panini grill press, grilled cheese.
I'll make you guys a smoothie.
So, awesome. Oh, wow. Like, totally freaked me out. I mean, right on. The Toro Shore, number one.
Wow.
Max, you're number one.
You.
You're number one.
Thank you.
Sorry I had to take it back one time, but really you're the number one guest today.
Thank you.
We appreciate you for being here with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so I want to give you one more opportunity to brag on yourself.
Mm.
Tell us your name, your brand, your platform.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell us where we can find you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then just share any last words, any things that you want so that you feel complete.
Well, you know, my name is Max Gibson, aka MG, aka MG Diddy, aka that Fruity Cat, aka DJ Bumpy Knuckles, aka Ball Is Life, aka the employer, on the hoop court. And man, you can find me at Dispo Max. I like to take photos.
Okay.
So I'm at Dispo Max on the gram.
Okay.
But a lot of our work is at Wine and Bow Ties. So Wine and Bow Ties.
Is it wine ampersand or wine and bow ties?
Wine and bow ties.
Awesome.
Online, on the gram.
Mm-hmm.
And then Feels is coming up. And so our large, big booty shaking annual festival, art, culture, music, film, community, is happening June 16th in Richmond.
Where?
At the Craneway Pavilion.
Yes, awesome. In Richmond.
Shout out to
so,
the Rich.
Yeah, that's Mickey Blanco, Princess Nokia, Baby Mother, Queen's Delight, All Black, Siri, Lonnie Holly.
That's crazy.
Lonnie Holly's performing.
All Black is performing.
Yeah.
Princess Nokia is performing.
Yeah, they're going to be on stage. So that's coming June 16th. The preview party was this week. So it's feel season now, guys. We're ready. The sun's coming up. This is the part where we should play the Drake song.
Care for me. Said you'd be there for me. Yeah.
So those are the main things, but you can keep up with us at Wine and Bow Ties. That's where we have all of our updates about the festival. And the tickets are on sale now, so you can cop them. Feels6.tv.
Say it one more time.
Feels6.tv. For the tickets to Feels.
Okay.
For all Feels, Wine and Bow Ties info, wineandbowties.com.
Awesome. Perfect. And then anything else that you got to say for the people?
Yes, to the people. Mm. It's a tongue looking to the camera. To the old people, to the young people. The words I have for you on this Saturday is to shoot your shot. What do I mean by that? I mean, take a chance. Put action behind that dream that you have. Obviously, you guys have done that. You had the idea first. One of you had it, and you communicated to the other one. You said, hey, let's do this. Okay, yeah, let's do this. Let's get the equipment. Let's pen it out. But now you're here, and now you're all rolling. And so I've seen that in my own life, how empowering taking action behind an idea is. And I see it happening. You guys manifesting the same thing as well. And so I want to encourage everyone to do that and also remind people that inspiration has no boundaries. And so you never know who you're inspiring with your work. And just because they don't say something to you doesn't mean they're not catching your vibe. And so all the more reason to just take action and continue on with your pursuits.
That was beautiful. Well stated.
Thank you.
Gorgeous. This is another episode of It's the Look.
It's a look.
With Jenna, Frida, and this week, our incredible, phenomenal, and dynamic, and sexy guest.
Let's go.
Max Gibson. And that's a wrap.
That is a wrap.
That's perfect. That's so good.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all lit. Y'all lit.
Oh, my
Y'all
God.
Y'all lit. You the man, bro. I'm trying to rock with you, bro. Jeff, you good? Y'all are popping, bro. What? Woo! This is what y'all doing up here. We work
it's
on
a
Saturdays.
Young pop. You, every Saturday, it's a pop. It's literally a pop. Yes.
Hey friends.
What up, y'all? Thanks for tuning in to this episode of It's a Look with Frida and Jenna. We're excited to stay in touch with you.
Follow us on Instagram at itsalookwith.us and online.
Itsalookwith.us. Comments, questions, reviews, go ahead and send us some in mail, P.O. Box 22002 in Oakland, California, 94623. New episodes of It's a Look drop every Monday on all visual and listening platforms. If you're interested in tuning into the podcast, join us at 8 a.m. every single Monday for our release. Or if you're a visual person and you want to watch the video, go ahead and join us on YouTube. We drop at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time every Monday. We'll see you there.